Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Lord, thank you so much. God, we thank you for what you've already done here. We've been able to sing to you. We've been able to enter into your presence. We have felt you here, God, and we just say thank you. Thank you for meeting us here, God. Thank you for bringing us to this place this morning so that we could be together. God, for the next few minutes, just help us, Lord. Help us to hear your heart. Help us to understand your word. And help us, God, to find freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go ahead and open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. That's where we're going to start this morning. But before we do that, I want to catch you up kind of on where we are in Genesis 3. So the first man and first woman, Adam and Eve, are on the earth. They have been placed in the Garden of Eden. God has given them a mandate. He has said, be fruitful, multiply, expand, right? That's what he's told them to do. He is giving them this beautiful relationship with himself. The Bible tells us that every day God would come into the garden and he would talk to them and he would walk with them. Somehow they're living around lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and nothing is eating them. So I would say this is pretty cool, right? And so they have this great existence. God set this beautiful thing in motion. And then one day a snake slithers into the garden. Come on, we know the story. He sells evil lie. She buys it. And then she gets her husband to get in on the thing with her. They disobey God. And verse 7, at that moment, their eyes were opened. And they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they covered themselves up and they hid among the trees. Ladies and gentlemen, we have just witnessed the very first game of hide and seek. Hide and seek, right? Anybody ever played hide and seek? Come on, everybody. Hands everywhere, right? Right? Ever played it with a three-year-old? That's the best, right? Because you count down, you turn around, and there they are. And so then you have to go around for like 5 minutes acting like you didn't see them. I don't know where you are. Am I getting cold, hot? What's going on? Where are you, right? This is what we see here in this verse. God knows where they are. They're not like hidden from his sight. He knows what they've done. But God is giving them a chance to come clean. He's giving them an opportunity here. We just witnessed the very first game of hide and seek, but that is not all we have witnessed. We have also witnessed an entrance. Enter sin. Enter shame. Enter hiding. Enter fear. I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And ever since that moment, thousands and thousands of years later, men and women all over the world have been playing this game with God. You don't have to look much further, right? Just turn to Genesis 4. And you'll see that Adam and Eve's son, Cain, engages God in this same type of game. Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel, at this point. And Cain and Abel are offering sacrifices to God. Somehow God has put some sort of system in play. We don't get a lot of information about that. We just see it happening. So they know that there's a specific way to offer things to God. Abel's offering is accepted. Cain's is not. So God engages Cain at this moment, verse 6. Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be, I love God, accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Come on, that'll preach. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. Wow. But you must subdue it and be its master. God is giving Cain an opportunity to get it right. Let's see if he does. Verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And this is where I wish I could put a holy megaphone into the scripture and say, "No, Abel, don't do it." You know, you just want to warn him ahead of time. And Abel's like, I don't know how it happened, but poor Abel. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" Does God know where Abel is? Yes. Where is Abel? Here comes the cover up. I don't know. How many things have you covered up just by saying, "I don't know"? Why are you so mad? I don't know. Why do you hate them? I don't know. Why are you struggling? I don't know. It's a cover up. I don't know. Cain responded, "Am I my brother's guardian?" Yes, but that's a different sermon. Cain tried to hide what he had done. He tried to cover his murderous guilt with anger and rebellion, but God still engages him to seek out the truth. King David. Everybody know King David? He killed Goliath. He's the man after God's own heart. He writes half the Psalms. Jesus's earthly lineage comes through his line. But there's a story that exposes David's humanity in the Bible. King David sleeps with another man's wife. Problem. She gets pregnant. Bigger problem. So he tries to cover it up. Super big problem. By having her husband sleep with her, and when that doesn't work, he exposes her husband to the front lines of battle so that he will be killed, and he is. Then he brings her into his house, marries her, and they have a baby. Hello. Wow. David's cover-up puts Adam and Eve's fig leaves to shame. David hides, but God still seeks. He sends a prophet to uncover the truth. Adam, Eve, Cain, King David, all of them had to learn the hard way. Their cover-up wasn't a cover-up at all. It was a feeble attempt to make their wrong things right. Have you ever tried to cover something up only for it to be exposed? I don't know how many times, I've done that, a million times, but I'll tell you a funny story. So in middle school, I lied to one of my friends. I told her, I don't even remember, it was something so stupid. Then I lied to my other friend, told them two different stories. And then I walked into the gym at Uriah Drive Middle School, and there they were sitting together. And I was like, oh no, they know, uh-oh. You know, you ever been there? The lie gets exposed, you thought you had a good one, and then it gets exposed. The pain you felt, oh, that didn't hurt me, that didn't hurt me, that didn't hurt me. But then you try to get in another relationship and you find out that hurt you, that hurt you, that hurt you. What about that internal struggle that you don't think anybody's ever gonna find out about? But then you get angry at the family reunion. Come on now, talk to me, talk to me. And all heck breaks loose. You thought you had covered it up. You thought you had stuffed it down. But somehow it has a way of exposing itself. I just wonder, I'm not a heretic and I don't want to rewrite the Bible, but sometimes I like to just think about what if? What if Adam and Eve had stayed there, naked, exposed? What if they said to one another, "Man, God's never done anything wrong to us. He's never hurt us. We've never seen him angry. He's never zapped us with lightning. I mean, maybe we'll stand here and maybe he'll help us." But they didn't do that. So we don't know what would have happened. Here at North Point, we have declared that this is the year of expansion. Come on, somebody. And if that is true, then it's time for us to come out of hiding. It's time for us to step out of the shadows and into the light. E-X-P-O-S-E, expose. The definition of the word expose, to make something visible, typically by un- covering it, expose. This word invokes fear in the hearts of many. If you saw the real me, you wouldn't like me. If you knew what I was thinking about when I drove up in the parking lot, you wouldn't even smile at me. If you knew what I did last night, you would not want to hug me. Afraid that something will be exposed. Ephesians 5, 13, 14. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Wow. This is why the enemy wants to keep things hidden in our lives, because when we make them visible, we can begin the healing process, the growth process, the expansion process. But as long as they are hidden, they will keep us from expanding because they're taking up all the good space. God wants to fill you up with more of his spirit, with more of who he is. He wants to reveal things to you, but you're all cluttered up with a bunch of stuff. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I love all the repetition John uses there. He's writing to a group of believers. Some false teaching has slipped in. Some people have been saying, you know what, you can sin and it's okay because it's all good. And John is writing a letter and he's saying, no, 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 that's not how it works. It's not how it works. Just like the word expose, the word confess has been given a bad rap. We had some erroneous teachings in decades past that scared people half to death. They weren't sure if they were saved or not, and they just lived in utter anxiety and torment. So we've stayed away from the teaching of confession. But today we're gonna look at it a little bit more. This word confess in verse 9, and this is Greek, and I'm gonna blow it up for you. Homologio. Say it with me. No, I'm just kidding. Don't say it with me. Homologio. I tried to get, you know, the internet to tell me how to say it right, but I still get it wrong. This means to speak the same, to agree, to say the same thing. Interesting. When we confess our sin to God, we are getting into agreement with him about where we fall short and where we need his help. God, you're right. You're right. Help me. That's what we're doing when we confess. What should we be exposing to the light? Our sins. Back to King David really quick. There's one thing we see King David doing in scripture that we do not see Cain or Adam or Eve doing, and that is confessing. Psalm 32, 1 through 5. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Come on. I'm trying to give you a get out of jail free card. If you could start living your life in complete honesty, would you sleep better at night? Would your marriage be better? Yeah. When I refused to confess my sin, what happens then? My body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. You ever felt that? You know good and well. You're doing something you know you're not supposed to be doing. And God in his grace is not zapping us with lightning, but he's saying, hey, daughter, hey, son, come on, come on. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Come on, Louisiana. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you. I think that's where he was. And stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. What happened when he did it? And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Theologians agree that Psalm 32, Psalm 51, and Psalms 103 were all written after David confessed to the sin of murder and adultery. Max Lucado said this, and I love it. Confession, you see, is not a punishment for sin. It is an isolation of sin so it can be exposed and extracted. Confession is the key to your freedom. Your freedom is the key to your expansion. Sin wants to be our master. Hear that. It wants to be our master. It does not want to play hopscotch. It doesn't want to get lunch at Nukes. It wants to master us. It wants to whip us and tell us where we're supposed to be going. You don't play with sin. God himself said sin is crouching at the door. Do you see it? It's active. It's eager to control you. But you must subdue it, ha, and be its master. I get to tell sin what to do. Get behind me, Satan. I am a child of God. I am loved, adored, and accepted. But I get to tell sin what to do. That's the kind of power that God has given us. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We can say yes to God and no to sin, but this is the part that sometimes I wish God hadn't let. He just make me a robot. We get to choose. We get to choose. And we better choose wisely because secret sin will do us in. David said, inside I wasted away. I groaned. Your hand of discipline was heavy on me. So here's my question. What sin is mastering you? Expose it. We have to expose our sins and we have to expose our temptations. We have to expose our temptations. I read this blog by the late, great, amazing Billy Graham. I call him Grandpa Billy. You can ask Dale. I don't know why, but that's what I do. And when I read the blog, he was talking about 10 principles of the Christian life. You should read it. You can find it just by probably Googling that. But there was a sentence that just jumped out at me. It said, we have to learn how to meet temptation. And then he went on to say, temptation is not sin. It is yielding that is sin. Let Christ through the Holy Spirit do the fighting for you. When you meet temptation, how do you respond? Do you give in and sin? Or you depend on the power of the Holy Spirit in you to say no? Don't let the tempter lie to you and tell you you've already blown it because you're struggling with temptation. This is the lie that I hear all the time from people. I have to stop serving. I'm struggling. I haven't been to church because I'm struggling. Listen, struggling is a sign that you're fighting, that you're in the game. Do you remember when you didn't struggle, you just did it? You remember that day? You remember how that used to be? Temptation is not sin. How do we know that for sure? Because Jesus, the Bible says, was tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. Don't believe the lie that because you're fighting, there's something wrong with you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Wait, what? Because doesn't it feel like you're the only one? Isn't that the lie that we've all entertained? Nobody knows what you're going through. You better not tell nobody. They're going to be like, you're a freak. You are weird. You got to get up out of North Point. No, we ain't going to say that. No. Because we've all experienced the same thing. And that's one of the biggest lies of the enemy, is that you're the only person who's ever felt that way. That's a lie. And this is the beautiful part. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, we never grow out of being tempted. He will show you a way out so that you can endure. You can overcome your temptations, but first you have to admit that they are there. So what tempts you? Can I give you some practical advice really quick? If you're tempted to watch movies that you would not watch with your family in the living room when everybody goes to sleep, go to bed early. If you're tempted to eat a half gallon of Bluebell ice cream, amen, anybody but me, don't buy it anymore. You get to choose. Wait, we got fingers pointing. Everything's happening. Oh, Lord. Turn the lights back up, Jerry. I don't want to know. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No. But seriously, if you're tempted to text somebody you're not married to and you're married, you probably better give your wife or your husband access to everything on your phone. It's just a practical thing, but it'll help. We have to expose our sin. We have to expose our temptations, and we have to expose our wounds. Ugh, wounds. We understand this in the natural, and we don't even give it a second thought. If you were sitting in this room with a gunshot in your chest and you didn't tell anybody, you would die. I would die, right? But so many of us walk around with spiritual gunshot wounds, and we think we're going to have a free and full and abundant life. It's not going to happen. Why? Because wounds need healing. Psalm 147:3, He, God, heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Wounds need healing. Max Lucado again, Uncle Max, as I like to call him. Healing happens when the wound is, there's our word, exposed to the atmosphere of grace. Come on. Not to the atmosphere of shame on you. Not to the atmosphere of I can't believe that happened. But to the atmosphere of grace, of mercy, of love. This is vital for expansion. Because where we're wounded, we want to play this blame game too. Not just hide and seek. We want to start playing that blame game like Adam and Eve did. Well, the woman you gave me, confess, Adam, just say you did. Well, the serpent, come on. Blame, blame, blame. Wounds are real. And we don't have to say it's okay that somebody else hurt us, but we do have to own our own healing. Don't let them have power over you. Believe that God is big enough to heal all of your wounds, because he is. It's so important that you expose your wounds, because where you're wounded, you remain weak. And when you're weak, you're tempted. And when you're weak and tempted, then when sin is crouching outside your door, you're probably going to let it in. Where are you hurting? How do we expose these things to the light? By exposing them to God's word. Come on, Hebrews 4, talk to us. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It, there's our word again, exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It gets to the heart of the matter. You can be saying one thing, but you open up the word of God, and it begins to expose everything. The real thing, the heart thing. This is so crucial. The more we expose our lives to God's word, the more we grow. Come on, somebody. C.S. Lewis, I love him. You know, he wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, if you don't know. And there's great movies of the books and all of this stuff. But he also wrote some other books. And one of his books is called The Screwtape Letters. And in the book of The Screwtape Letters, some demons are having a conversation, some fictional demons. And this is what they say. It is funny how mortals always picture us as putting things into their minds. In reality, our best work is done by keeping things out. Jesus spoke about this at the parable of the sower, right? He said, the seed that's sown along the path, that's the word of God. But they don't understand it, and the devil comes and he takes it away. That's what he's more concerned about, is making sure it doesn't get in. Because if it gets in, then you can expand. Your whole life can change. The more you know, the more you grow. This is so vital to expanding. But I want to stop and just do a small disclaimer, because as we walk with God, we have a tendency to lean toward inspection of others. We read our Bibles and we see our friends and we see our family. I can't wait to share this with her. As we walk with God, that happens. But at the beginning, we're so introspective. God, show me, show me, show me. Help me, help me, help me. Jesus talked about this in another story that he was teaching. He said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye when you got a log sticking out of yours? Don't get into the word so that you can expose other people's sins and their junk. Get into it for yourself. Listen, speck inspectors are prideful and petty. But log pullers, they stay humble and they stay hungry. God, show me. Before I start telling my neighbor, show me. We all want to be log pullers, don't we? Because that's how God designed it. If I can deal with my stuff, then I can see, Jesus said, then. We don't teach that part of the verse a lot. We just say, don't judge me. You got a log, I got a speck, right? But Jesus didn't end it there. He said, take your log out, then. Then you can help somebody else. Don't you want to help somebody else? Isn't that what expansion's all about? It's not just for you. Ask God if you've got any logs in your life. Exposing your life to the light of God's word will grow your life and make you able to help those around you. That's the abundant life. How do we expose things to the light? By exposing them to God in prayer. Hebrews 4, 13 through 16. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Oh, okay. So, why am I trying to hide? Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Wow. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, come on, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. I can't hardly deal with this verse of scripture. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Don't believe the lie that Jesus doesn't feel you. He feels you. So, because he feels me, because he's gone before me, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. When do we need it the most? When we've blown it the biggest. I don't know if that's proper grammar, but you know that's true. God sees not just where I am, but he sees what's going on inside of me. Wow. And he still loves me. Come on. Why wouldn't I come clean with him in prayer? This is what changed my life. Just a few years back, I've read this scripture a million times. Not a million, you know. Why do we say that? But anyway, I had read it a few times. And then one day I was reading it, and it said, everything is laid bare before him. And I thought, wait a minute. Why am I praying such pretty prayers? If you already know what's going on, here I come. Let me keep it real, Jesus. I'm going to stop just praying. Oh, just bless Joy today at school. And just make sure Dale doesn't fall off any ladders, God. You know, I mean, I still pray those prayers. But man, when I'm struggling, I go right in. God, I don't want to love that person, but you already know that. Woo! I just felt something happen there. Help me. Because I'm exposing my life to your word. It says I'm called to love, and I'm just going to keep it real with you. I don't feel like that right now. that's when I receive mercy. That's when I receive grace. That's when I begin to expand. That's when I begin to grow. And if it works for me, it works for you. Keep it real with God. How do we expose things to the light? By exposing them to the Word, by exposing them to God in prayer, and by exposing them in community. Aha! Yes, you knew it. It's groups. Kick off. No, I'm kidding. I am just advertising for groups. No, that's not what I'm doing. The life we've entered into with Jesus comes with something that some of us would like to avoid. You ready? Other people. Come on, somebody. No amens on that? Come on. It interests me that so much of the Bible is about relationships, how we are to treat one another, talk to one another, care for one another. Jesus says a whole lot about one another. It's no wonder to me, and this is the truth, that people who are connected in groups are the healthiest people in our church. Because when you have to fellowship with someone on a regular basis, things begin to come out. Things begin to get healed. Your life begins to change. There's something about it. That's how Jesus designed it. You can't really be connected with Jesus without being connected to the rest of his body. People have told me that all the time. Well, I love Jesus, but I just don't like people or church. And I'm like, well, where do you think Jesus is? He's the head of his body. He's the head of the church. You go ahead and disconnect if you want, but this is where Jesus is. He's with his body. So what are you going to do over there? Get creamed? Because that's the devil's plan. Isolate. Put you in a corner. Put you somewhere else. Get you away from people who love you. Don't play the game. James 5:16. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. That sounds good, doesn't it? The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. The word confess there is another fancy Greek word that I'm going to mess up, but I'm going to say it anyway. Exomolegio. Exomolegio. This word is so interesting. I want you to look it up for yourself. Because when I looked it up, it kind of messed me up. It's actually a stronger verb than the one used in 1 John where it says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful. And I was like, wait, what? What does this word mean? Wholehearted confession, not holding anything back, fully agreeing and acknowledging that agreement openly. There is power in standing with one of our prayer leaders, which you're going to have the opportunity to do at the end of the service, and confessing a wound, confessing your temptation, confessing your sin. There is power in agreement. You need a group. You need to pray with other people. You need people that you can trust with your sins, your temptations, your wounds, people who you can be open with. Because as long as you're isolated, you're fair game. And I just want to tell you, I completely understand. Some of you have exposed yourself to a community in the past and you have been messed over. And I have too. But I'm going to tell you this with all sincerity and with an open and compassionate heart. Try again. Try again, because that's the only way it's going to work. If you try it again, don't let fear keep you from forming healthy relationships with other believers. Even Jesus did life with a group of people. That's something I always go back to when I want to pull back from community. A group of very flawed people. Come on, have you read your Gospels lately? Flawed. Just flawed. But they were in his posse. They were in his crew. They were the people closest to him. So if you're looking for a perfect group, you're not going to find one. We don't have those here at North Point. But we do have healthy groups of Christians who are just wanting to be more like Jesus, who make mistakes, but who also are believing that the best is yet to come. Come on. Some of you need a Christian counselor. Let's just be real. Wounds go deep. Some of you need a few months or even a few years of just being able to spill all the beans and confidence to somebody. And I want you to understand that you should never feel ashamed for that. If someone says, oh, you're a Christian, you shouldn't have to do that. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. Some of you need a counselor, and that's okay. One more disclaimer. I am not talking about spilling your beans on social media. That is counterfeit community, friends. And it is very unhealthy. We're talking about healthy community here. It does you no good. I'm talking about sitting at a table with somebody, eating greasy fried chicken. I did it for you, Dad. And having a real conversation. I'm talking about eating some tacos and just letting it spill all over your mouth and laughing and praying and having bad breath and being tired. Come on, I'm talking about keeping it real. Because when you do that, you expand. That's just how it works. Bottom line, we're not meant to live a life of hiding, of covering up. And even though we know this is true, it's just so hard to believe because we still have fear. Fear will always interfere with your relationship with God. And it will interfere with your relationship with other people. It will keep us running and hiding and covering up all of our lives. The truth is, we still hide and God still seeks. We still operate in fear instead of faith. Just the thought of being honest with God and another group of people invokes fear in so many of our hearts. And when we're fearful, we can be sure that the enemy is giving us an earful. You're not good enough. God's not good either. They have it all together. If they only knew. Lies, lies, lies. God has a cure for our fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Doesn't that just sound good? But perfect love, the kind of love God has for us, drives out fear. Cast out fear, expels fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Oh, the one who fears punishment has not been perfected in love. Fear has to do with punishment. Somebody took all of our punishment. He's the reason we're here this morning. He's the reason we're going to go to heaven when we die. What's his name? Jesus. Ha. Oh. We don't have to fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And someone else took that punishment. And someone else took that wrath. And someone else died in our place. We have a high priest who can feel it when we're weak and hurting. We have a high priest who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. But he did not sin. So let us boldly approach God's throne of grace. Then we will receive mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it. Exit shame. Exit hiding. Exit fear. I get to enter in. You get to enter in. Flaws and all. Here I am, God. Blew it big at work today. Said some things I shouldn't have said. I agree with you. That was wrong. Would you just help me? I know I was here yesterday, but I'm back. I said it again. God, help me. Forgive me. I don't have to be afraid. But I do get to enter in. And my life does get to expand. God knew we'd be playing this game long after Adam and Eve sinned. So he made a way for us to shut this game down once and for all. I think it's ironic. Adam and Eve covered themselves and hid from the Lord among the trees. Jesus hung uncovered and exposed himself to death on a tree. Now Jesus covers us with his blood and makes a way for us to come to the Father just as we are, without fear, every single day of our lives. What are we afraid of? That we'll tell God something he doesn't already know? That we'll tell people something they haven't already figured out? What if we took the keys that God gave us and we used them? This gift of confession. What if I shamed the devil? He can't use it anymore. He can't hang it over my head anymore. I'm going to expose it. You don't get a chance to, because you have no power in my life. I am a child of God. Come on. Stand with me. Our prayer leaders are going to go to the sides right now. These people are hand-picked people. They're people who have served God faithfully. And I want you, man, in the first service, so many people got prayer. It was beautiful. You need to use the power of James 5:16 this morning. If, it's a big word, if we confess our sins, he is, come on, faithful. And he will. Ha! Don't believe the lie that he won't. He will. And you have an opportunity to come clean today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you have never, ever confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you know who you are. I don't have to talk about it. Before we go any further, I just want to give you a chance to get into the kingdom of God. If that's you today, if you say, I've never confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, he knows and I know. Would you just lift your hand so I can see it? Just me. Just me. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you are about to go to the sides and get prayer and get freedom. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and this might sound strong, but your love has grown cold. Can I just say it right now? You know what will heat it up? Honest conversation with Jesus. If that's you right now in this room and you say, Clarissa, my relationship with God has just grown cold, would you lift your hand so I can see it? Just me. Amen. You can put your hands down. Could everybody repeat this prayer after me? Jesus, thank you for making a way. Because of you, I do not have to fear. I confess you are Lord. You are Savior. Help me to be honest with you all the days of my life.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.